Blog Talk Radio.
Soaring above,
Thy pathways are fountains of goodness and love.
Through all life thou givest to all freedom's law. In all life thou livest the true life of all. We blossom and flourish like leaves on the tree. Then wither and perish, but not changed be.
Thou reignest in glory, thou rulest in light. Thine angels adore thee, obeying their sight. All praise we would render, all that thought to see. Tis only the splendor of thy majesty.
Good evening, my dear sister and brother. This is Sister Powell, will be your host tonight. We welcome everyone to Health Reform Thursday, and we are going to start by offering a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this moment to give you thanks and praise for the many blessings that you have restored upon us. Thank you for your love, your mercy. Thank you for taking us out and bring us back safely. And as we come before you, Lord, to sing songs and to testify and to give praises unto you, we are asking you, Lord, to be by our side, as that whatsoever we do, we will bring honor and glory to your name. So we just want to thank you for the privilege, dear God, that you have given unto us so that we can join this moment. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, again, welcome on Advent Light, Health Reform Thursday. I just want each one of us to know that God loves you and that as we are here, we have the opportunity to share his goodness to others, that others can know how good and how great he is. So I just want to welcome everyone again. And as tonight is Thursday night, there is a little quote here on it. We should now acquaint ourselves with God, brothers and sisters, by proving his promises. Angels record every prayer that is earnest and sincere, and we should rather dispense with selfish gratification than neglect communion with God. So this is the time that we are supposed to be communing with our God. Deepest poverty and the greatest self-denial with his approval is better than riches, honor, ease, and friendship without it. We must take time to pray, brothers and sisters. If we allow our minds to be absorbed by worldly interests, the Lord may give us time by removing from us our idols of gold, of houses, right? Of gold, of houses, or of fertile land. And we find that in Great Controversy 622, paragraph 1. The young would not be subdued into sin if they would refuse to enter any part save that which they could ask God. So, brothers, we have to spend time with God. And just as old Jacob wrestled with God, this is the time that God's people have to wrestle with God for themselves. So welcome again, my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to open the line for my dear sister with our opening song and also the scripture passage and her prayer. So 518-650, your line is open. Can you hear your name and where you're calling from?
Good afternoon, Sister Powell. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York.
Amen.
Under things I'm safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him, I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, who from his love can savor? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to its rest. Often when earth has no bound for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under his wings, who from his love can savor? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, who from his love can save her? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. And I'm going to read Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and utter the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Under your wing, O God, I'm safely abiding. Though the night be fierce and tempests are wild, Lord, still I can trust you. I know you will keep me. You have redeemed me, and I am your child. Thank you, Jesus, for adopting me as your child. Thank you for covering me under your wings. God, I'm so grateful for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love, for your compassion, for all the things you are doing for me. Lord, please anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, O God. Create in me clean heart, renew right spirit within me. Heavenly Father, I claim Psalms 91 on my body, on my mind, my soul, and every part of me, dear God. I'm asking you to cover me under your wings. Let nothing that is unlike you come nigh me, O God. Let no sickness overtake me. Let nothing that is unlike you overtake me, Heavenly Father. I claim these Psalms over my life and over all those who are on the prayer line, O God, with their families. I claim the 91 Psalms over us. Father God, I'm asking you to wash us and to cleanse us and to mold us into your likeness, O God, and make us into what you want us to be. Heavenly Father, we are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good. But because of your love, because of your mercy, because of your grace, because of your compassion, O God, we are here this evening so that we can join the prayer line to sing a song, to read a scripture, O God, and to pray and give you many, many thanks for how good you are. There is no one as good as you. There is no one compared to you, God. Only you and you alone, dear Lord. There is no one can take your place. Father, take full control of us this evening, O God. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness. Lord, we are your child. We are unworthy. We are full of sin. But because of sin, O God, sin is separating us from you. But, O God, you love us with an everlasting love, dear God. And if we come boldly before you, you will forgive us and you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, continue to bless us. Continue to touch us. Continue to mold us and fashion us into your likeness. Be with our families, O God. All our families all over the world. We have our families. I ask you to be with them. Touch them, God, and guide them, O God. Provide for them in a special way, dear Father. Those who know you, help them to come closer to you. And those who do not know you, O God, help them to draw close to you. Because your coming is near. And want all of us to be saved in your kingdom. O God, take full control this evening, dear Father. Reach out, O God, and touch. Reach out and touch somebody's hand, O God, so that they may walk with you in newness of life. Lord, continue to mold us and to fashion us into your likeness, dear God. We beg of your mercy and your grace and your pardon. Father, please forgive us for all the wrongs we have done. And please forgive us for all our sins and our shortcomings and everything that so easily beset us, O God. Rebuke it and remove it from us so that we can have a heart of yours, a mind of yours, O God, and do the things that you do. Lord, take full control this evening. Be with the speaker and let words come from the speaker mouth that would come from your throne. Continue to guard, guide, and protect. I beg and I give you thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. What happened? We don't hear her? All right, thank you, my dear sister. Thank you, my dear sister Barnaby, for that song, Under His Wing, and also for your scripture passage. God promised that he will cover us under his wing, right? And all we have to trust and believe that what he says that he will do. So we just want to give God thanks for our sister to allow us, you know, to remind us that under his wings we are safely laid. So brothers and sisters, we are asking you please to press number one so that you can share. All right, God is good. Thank you, my dear sister, for your prayer and also for reading the psalm, safely, the songs, safely under his wing and safely abide. Though the night deep and the tempests are wild, still we can trust him. We know that he will keep me and redeem me and am his child. So we are all God's children, my dear brothers and sisters. So let us trust God. God is able to do all things. So I'm going to open this line. 423-635, your line is open. Sorry for the little pause.
Amen. Amen, amen. Good evening. Thank you for opening up my line, Sister Powell. Praise the Lord. This is Sister Carla from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love, for just peace that passes all understanding, basically. Just a testimony. Yesterday, as I was working and in between shifts, and I went to the laundromat just to wash out some larger stuff. And as I was there, I held the door open for this lady that was having, you know, her hands were full. So I held the door open for her several times. And afterwards, you know, I went finishing up and went to fold up my clothes and I saw her reading and I was impressed to give her a Steps to Christ. And, you know, I was just talking to her. And she was reading the Bible, and I was like, praise the Lord, you know. and we were just talking. She goes to church on Sunday, and she was talking about her Bible study group and different stuff, and they're studying on Zoom and, you know, just what's happening in the world. So in a snippet, I just, you know, told her about the Sabbath and everything and, you know, the love of God. And I also went to the car because I had another more books, and I got a National Sunday Law and also gave it to her. And there was a gentleman, he came asking for money. And as he came up, he heard us talking because she was asking me what church I went to. And I told her I worship on the Sabbath. And that's when I told her a little bit about the Sabbath. And the gentleman came up and he heard and he said, oh, I used to go to a Seventh-day Adventist church up the, you know, the road, which I know in Gradesville. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. So he was there asking for money, and I was able to assist him, and I asked him, can I pray with him? And right then, I, you know, she was there, and he was there, and I prayed. And I just thank the Lord for just putting people in our path, and we getting the opportunity to minister to them and to show the love of God and to tell them the truth. And, you know, I also went and got him a Steps to Christ book, and just reminding that God loved him, and he said he had a heart attack, and I think his name was George, and her name is Heather. So just, you know, keep the people in prayer as their hearts are open up to truth and they're ready to accept the truth. So we have to be purpose and willing to share with people and to have a smile on our face, a hug, a warm handshake, and just show them the love of Christ wherever we go. And I just like to share the Council on Food and Diet, Intemperance, a Sin. It said, let none who profess godliness regard with indifference the health of the body and flatter themselves that intemperance is no sin and will not affect their spirituality. A close sympathy exists between the physical and the moral nature. With our first parents, intemperance desire resulted in the loss of Eden. Intemperance is all in all things has more to do with our restoration to Eden than men realize. So let us be temperance in all things, brothers and sisters, and let us ask God to help us because we cannot do this in our own strength, of course. Amen. Thank you again, Sister Powell, for opening up my line. God bless.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for that praise report and witnessing out there in the laundromat. You present the love of Christ with your sister and also with the brother. And as you mentioned a while ago, that people are hungry now for the word, right? And we have to all get ourselves ready and prepare that wherever we go, we have our tool with us, right? And that is the word. The word of God. So we cannot go out there and don't really carry out our weapon, and that is the books, then that the literature, these tracts that we can share with our brothers and our sisters. And as we have listened to my dear sister, our dear sister, Mary's report and testimony, you know, of those two people, Heather and George, let us lift up them in prayer and always, my dear brothers and sisters, ready to share the truth with those who we come contact with. So, Sister Carla, I just want to thank you for that praise report. And my dear brothers and sisters, she also mentioned about the health message, you know, the diet and health, and how we should be mindful on to be temperate in everything that we do. We have a health message, and as we know, tonight is the Health Reform Thursday night, where each one of us will get, you know, the opportunity to listen and also to study how important, you know, how these medical missionaries work, as we know that it is the right arm to the gospel, and how we should, you know, treat ourselves. And God has given us the 8 laws of health that we should abide by. And each one of us, brothers and sisters, if we abide by these laws that God has given unto us, as he says, He wish above all things that we would prosper and be in good health. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to be sick. So as our sister reminded us a while ago, you know, in everything we do, we have to be temperance in everything. So we just want to give God that thanks for. And as my dear sister was sharing this morning, we as the sisters on a Hurley Mount morning prayer, and we really go through these books and these prophecy and share and in study. And we came up this morning in our study, the ministry of the home. And this is found in the ministry of healing. We're just going to share a little bit before. We are asking our brothers and sisters to press number one so that I can open your line. If you do not press one, you know, I cannot open the line, so I'm asking. And, you know, we today just Thursday night, and we also always have our health tip, you know, a little health nugget, and I'm going to open the line for that individual. But the little topic that I read, and it's also taken from Proverbs 4:23, and this is the respiration of uplifting of humanity, and it begins in the home. So it is so important, sisters and brothers who join us all home, right? This is the first place, the first teaching ground, and the first school room that we have, especially for the work of the parents, you know, to others, and the others are our children. And it said here, it begins in the home, and the work of parents underline every other society, and it also composed of family, and it shall what the head of the family make of it. So we know that the family make up of the father and also the mother and then children, and we know the head of the family is the father, right? And the important role that the mother has done, supposed to be doing in the home. And as Proverbs was said, and the heart of the community and also of the church, because if we have a community where the children grow up in the home and they are respectful, know about the Lord, studying the word of God, these children will present a healthy church system where they will be able to share God's message. And it also say, and of the nation to not only the church, but the community and also the nation. And this is a well-being of the society, and the success of the church is the prosperity of the nation, and it depends upon the home influence. So it is very, very important, my dear brothers and sisters here, for us to start, right? God missionary work for us to start in our home, because our father sent his son in this earth, and we do know that he spent years in Nazareth, and what he was doing the work that God had sent him to do. So that's an example for us. So our prayer is for us, especially for our youth, our brothers, our sisters, our children, you know, so that we will demonstrate the character of Christ, so that Christ will be seen in us, in our home, and then our society, because we are facing neighbors. As we come out of our home, we are seeing neighbors. So the life that we live, right, these neighbors are supposed to be see Christ and only Christ within us. So that was my little health nugget today. And I'm asking my brothers and sisters to, you know, let us study God's word, and not just only study, but also to be doer of God's word. Welcome again, everyone, on Advent Light. And I want to thank you for joining. And we are asking you to press number one that you can share. Okay, this 518-482, your line is open. Can you share your name and your calling from?
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Cantonelli from Albany. I am so happy to be here this afternoon to blend my voice in giving praise and thanks to God for the wonderful way in which he has kept me from last Thursday to now, and God is so good. He is so great. I just want to give him all the praise. This afternoon, I would like to, there's so much in my mind, so much things I could talk about, but I would like to talk about, first I would give my health talk. Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. I want to say health does not come, it doesn't come easily. Health does not come from drinking medicine. We don't have peace of mind from drinking medicine. Peace of mind in the heart, in the soul, it comes from God. And it comes too from laughter, having a good laugh. When you can give a hearty laugh, and you have to like to love people, because if you don't love people, then you can't be healthy. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. This afternoon, I just want to share with you something that we all hear all the time, our drink that we all know about, and that is the history of addiction. And it, I would say that it is anywhere in America, almost anywhere. Imagine life without coffee and chocolate. But these substances, both derived of the coffee beans, were relatively unknown to America and European civilization at one time. Coffee, tea, and cocoa were introduced simultaneously in England in 1650. Although coffee from Africa and other countries like Europe was in 110 BC, coffee was recognized immediately as a powerful stimulant and was used as much for medicine as a drug as it was for drinking. Coffee was once outlawed as a dangerous drug in Europe, and only those who disobeyed the law and drank coffee in private circles kept it around long enough for laws against it to be repealed. But we know that coffee is very dangerous, and the same is true of chocolate. Chocolate contains caffeine. It's also another stimulant. Coffee is dangerous. They said if you drink it in moderate amount, but I don't know what moderate amount, I know that we shouldn't even use it. 2 or 3 cups per day is okay for some people, that's what they say. But I don't know about that. But like any addictive drug, it's always extremely difficult to stop at a certain limit. Before you know it, you are 8, 10, 20 cups. You are a hard drinker of coffee. Drinking coffee in these amounts may cause all kinds of sickness. Number one, it may cause heart problems. It may give some people diarrhea, stomach ulcers, mental anxiety, menstrual problems, incontinence, insomnia, heartburn, dehydration, fatigue, nervousness, convulsion, hypertension, hot flashes, headaches, panic attacks, and hiatal hernia. In addition to bring on some of these diseases, coffee can also make some of your existing condition a lot worse than what it is, especially people who have arthritis or some inflammatory diseases. And you know, another thing that we could think about coffee, you could have lumps in your breast from drinking coffee. So we see here that coffee, I could go on, but I wouldn't say anymore because plenty of people know about coffee already and its effect on the body, on the human mechanism. So this afternoon, I just want to say, let's don't try to use coffee. I'm not speaking to everybody, but some people love coffee, and it's a hard thing for them to get rid of. So I'm advising those who are drinking coffee to pray and ask God to get you off of coffee, because if you're drinking coffee, you cannot keep healthy mind and a sound body. Okay? I'm going to sing this song, Pure Cold Water. Before drinking coffee, we could use water. I know that's a hard thing for some of us to do, but I would recommend water. And I'm going to sing this song that we always sing for temperance. Pure, let me see if I could get it. Pure cold water, we would recommend cold water. It's the best of drink for every son and daughter. From the valley, from the hills, from the mountain, there's no other drink to compare with the fountain. Cold water, we would recommend cold water. We would recommend cold water. Bear away your wine, your beer, and your cider. Nature's right to rule must never be denied her. We would recommend cold water, cold water, cold water. We would recommend a few cold water. And that is what I'm asking you to drink. Plenty of water and not coffee. You will be more healthier. And God bless us bountifully. Thank you, Sister Pavel, for opening my line. That is my little advice to us today.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for bringing that tip to us, brothers and sisters. And you know what? It is very, very important for us to take really study and also action to, you know, because what is happening here, what we got is about coffee. And also they said some tea, and as my sister was saying, that it is not, coffee is not good for our health. So she asking us that whosoever taking coffee, he must stop, because it's not good. It is not good for the stomach, the nerves in the stomach, and it also increase, you know, our action in our heart. So, and it actually give us a short lifespan of energy, you know. So we know that coffee is not good, brothers and sisters, so we pray that God will help us, that if whosoever here on this line having coffee or a family member, we know, you know, we can counsel them, you know, with love. Everything we do, we have to do it with love and pray, you know, for them, because this is not really good. We know we are living in a society where we see, I think, coffee drinker in this country. Everywhere you go, you see them with a cup, right? Some 3, 4, 5 cups per day. And we know that it is not healthy for them. So thank you, my dear. And also for the song, you know, brothers and sisters, God gave us healthy drink, and the healthy drink is water. And we must know that we ask God to help us, that we will drink more water. So I just want to thank you, my sister, for that help tip, and it's very educating to us. 985, your line is open. Can you share your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. The week is almost gone again. Wow, it's going fast. We've been having a lot of rain this way, and it's just been cool, bringing on the cool, because we've been having a lot of heat, but the rain been keeping it cool over here. So I thank God for what it is. It's been nice. So I want to read this prayer, the devotion. In Jesus' name I pray, for he is my shepherd and the light within the barren wilderness. Lead me to your pastures freely, where I may be safe under your salvation and happy in the knowledge that should I stray, my Savior will find me. Grant me thus, Lord, a life abundant in your love for the fellowship of the faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just want to thank the Lord for his word. And yes, one day we would want to be in this situation right here where we can be in God's pasture, where he can give us this life, and we can be living in abundantly, and where his love is faithful. And that would be like life in paradise. And we would thank the Lord for all he's doing then, now, and thank him for everything. So I just want to ask for prayer for Advent Prayer Line and all upcoming projects they got. Pray for each and every one on and off the prayer line. And just keep everyone in prayer that's homeless, sick, and all abroad, and all the family members that make this prayer line success. And just keep everyone in prayer, my family and everybody, just everyone in general. Amen.
Amen.
What you got on?
Yeah, this is John from Houma, Louisiana. I'd like to say hello to everyone. Yeah, Brother John, and I just want to say thank God for the prayer line, and thank God for this life that we have. And I just want to say thanks God. I let God in my heart, and he's in my heart. I know this life is have ups and downs, but I realize that life feels ups and downs because this is a journey. It's a journey for everybody. So journeys have ups and downs, but God give us the strength to face those downs, and he give us the strength to think of ways to overcome, to do things to overcome, and to have faith to overcome things and that's what I'm so happy about. And I just want to say that no matter what, he is with us, and he guides us, and he strengthens us, and he is our everything and our all. And I just want to say, everybody, have a blessed evening, or night, or whatever time in the world it is. And God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and for sharing the goodness of God, what God have done for both you guys. And despite of the ups and downs, he is there to carry you through and carry us through. And I thank God that, you know, God have been using both you and Sister Brenda in his own way, and that you are giving God the praise, because it's only God can get that praise. So we want to thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, and we will continue to lift up your brothers and sisters.
and your family here on Advent Light is praying for each and every one of them. So I just want to thank you for also for sharing. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking, please, if you could press number one so that I can open your line. You know, we want to give everyone the opportunity. We also have a full house here, and I would like my brothers and sisters to press number one. And brothers and sisters, we have, God have been blessing our line. We have some sisters who have joined our line. Sister, I want each one of us to get familiar with these names. We have Sister Payne, and we also have Sister Lynn, and also Sister Tamika, you know, join our line regular this prayer line, especially the sisters' early morning prayer meeting. And these sisters are on fire. So we are asking our brothers and sisters to pray for these sisters so that they will continue to shine their light out there to all who they come contact with. And also, we want to let them know how we are so thankful to God that God has placed them here on these lines, because they are here and they are saying that they are learning and lots of things, not because they did not really hear it, but the way in which, you know, it has been shared. So we just want to let you know, Advent Light family, that you have some new family, and I want you to, you know, continue to pray for them. And when you come on, familiar with the names them, that you can, you know, have them in prayer. And these names, we are asking each one to remember them in prayer. So thank you again, my brothers and my sister. Open this line. 815, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Sister Payne, Illinois.
Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, Sister Payne. Thank you, Sharon.
I just want to say, I was about to say happy Sabbath. I just want to say greetings in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And it's a pleasure for being here, and greeting to everyone. I'm happy to hear everyone that is talking this evening, and I'm glad for all the message. And the sister who was talking when I came on was giving some subject. I thank God for all those, and I hear all the medicines that are going before. Before I could say anything, I see I have a remedy here which I could give you, and this remedy is for the blood sugar. It's very good with the cinnamon powder or the cinnamon stick. It can draw tea with it, or you can use the powder. It's good to bring down the sugar. If you don't have to overdose yourself, but you can use it sparingly, and it can help with the sugar. And I'm saying, no, if like a nail would stick your foot and you find out you're about to have appetitis, something like that, you can scrape the banana, the green banana, you can scrape it, and you can put some olive oil on it, and you can put it on that nail, that the cut where the nail stick you tie it on that foot, and it keep drawing out the poison. You keep putting it on and you keep changing it, and that helps to draw out the poison. If you're at home, you know, we're going to need our home remedy. And then I have another one is asthma. My baby was born partially with the asthma. After 3 months, he started shaking. And by the time I reached the hospital with him, he was so terrible that the doctor said, you know what, it turned into bronchitis. Immediately the child has asthma and bronchitis. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know really what to do. And so you know what I did with the baby? You read the Back to Eden. It's a very good doctor in the house, the Back to Eden. I give him all of what I read in the Back to Eden, but there was a faster thing that I used, and that was to give him an ice bath. You have to be careful how you're doing the ice bath. You fill up the tub with the cold ice water. You wrap some ice cube in the water, and you're good after get. You have to hug up the baby. I hug him up, keep him warm first, and I'm crying, but I had to do it. And I drop deep him into the water. I don't keep him there long. Just put the whole body in there. He's dying, crying. And when you put him in there, you bring him out quick, and you cover him with the towel. And then you get him warm, and then I rub him, rub the whole body with some kind of something like, something that is very high in smell, like things that you rub for pain. I use that and rub the whole body and warm him up. And the breathing just come right down. And the person who have the asthma, you can give them a enema that open the trachea, the lungs. It open it. And he can breathe freely now. You give him that bath, you wrap them quick, and you give them the enema. They sleep like a baby. It bring down, it holds, you have to try get the lungs to open. And that's what I do. So that's two remedies for today from me. And those are things that I use. So I know how much it works. And so you don't, we didn't have the doctor near, so you have to fix yourself or somebody going to die. But that's what we use. And I thank you for listening. And now I'm going to sing my song. And my song is, please search me, oh God. I know my heart today. Try me, oh Savior. Know my heart, I pray. See me, there be some wicked ways in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burn with shame. Grant me the desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart within thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, burden, shame. Grant my desire to magnify your name. Lord, take my life and make it only thine. poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will.
Hallelujah.
My Father, praise God. My passion, self and pride, I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Oh, Holy Ghost, revival come from thee. Revival and start the work in me. Thy word declare, thou wilt supply my need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly pray in Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
God. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
God. Praise
Amen.
God. Praise him.
Amen.
Praise him. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Bless me, O Lord, and search my heart and know my thoughts and see if there's
mm-hmm.
any wicked ways in me. For I know I have no perfection. I know I am not a heaven material, but I know, God, you are compassion. You have compassion, oh yes, Lord, and you promise if I come, you will do far more than I can do. I just want to tell you thank you, amen, and I want to praise you for all the greatness and the goodness and your benefits. There is a lot of benefits from God. Thank you, dear Father. I cannot keep my peace, but I can't keep quiet because you are so magnificent. Oh, thank you for your greatness. And thank you for helping us. I pray for all my brethren. I pray for the host and all those who are in lead and doing the part. I thank you for the words I'm learning. I pray for the sick and afflicted among us and Donna Ricky and Angela and my siblings and all those, all my brethren, families and little children, husband and wife. I'm talking about our brethren. We are talking about Mash homes, the father and the wife mashed. Some is differently parted. Yes, divorce, and some is about to go on. But dear God, the family, the devil is against the family. The devil is against Christian. The devil is against church. The devil is against God. Hallelujah, and he's against us. Have mercy upon us, Lord. I pray for the family. I pray for the India right now, that it might work a miracle for India. And Lord, we have other people in the world, right around the world, especially in our church. I pray for my church family. I pray from the General Conference headquarters coming down through the world. Have mercy upon us, O God, for you said we are dumb sheep. And you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have mercy upon our pastors. Have mercy, Lord, and anyone that we have a problem with, we ask, dear Father, to blot out our transgression and wash us white, and so that we can be pleased, waiting on you. For you're not coming to save nobody. You're coming for the save. So, Lord, help us to stand safe, waiting on you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my dear sister. God is so good. Thank you for that song and also for the remedy. Oh, my remedy, natural remedy. I remember one of these remedy that my sister gave was there. When the nail go or your foot go down, any nail or any stick or anything that may jip your feet, and you know you have that little sore underneath today. Oh, my parents used to use that same remedy that my sister have shared with the green banana and also the olive oil, and they would tie it, just as you said, get a piece of olive oil, and they would put it in, and they would tie it on that foot. And my dear brothers and sisters, that pain, and as she said, I did pull out the poison, and that was a natural remedy that I saw my mother do from when I was a child growing up. So I do know that, you know what, these little remedies that, you know, homemade, natural, these are things that our people do. And also we just want to thank you for sharing these homemade remedy, and that, you know, we will know that God always have a plan for us, and he prepare the way that we can, you know, how we can treat ourselves. We only have to be faithful to him. So we want to thank you for that song, wonderful song. I felt, you know, the presence of God is in this place, and he wants us to realize, to know that he is coming soon, and this is the time that the Holy Spirit is going to pour down upon his people so that we will be able to carry the gospel message out. So we want to thank you, Sister Payne, and brothers and sisters on the line. This is Sister Payne, the voice that you have heard a while ago with those testimony in song, and also the remedy. That's one of our new sisters. So we are asking you to lift up Sister Payne and pray, as one and the other sisters are here. You will hear their voice shortly. 857-505, your line is open. Can you tell your name?
Hello, Sister Power. Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, Sister Power, I like to praise God because God is good. He's worthy. He's awesome. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Power. Sister Power, I would like for Sister Payne was praying, Sister Power. Sister Payne was singing that song, Sister Power. I cry out to the Lord, Sister Power. And Sister Power, I have a prayer request at this moment. My prayer request at this moment is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer, Sister Power. Sister Power, don't forget to pray for me. Lift me up in prayer. Don't forget to pray for our brother too, Brother Jihari, Sister Power. Lift up Brother Jihari, Sister Power, and he could be obedient. Pray for Brother Jihari, and he could come in this Advent Life ministry. Don't forget to pray for Brother Isma. Pray for Sister Katiana. Pray for Brother Anthony, Sister Power. Brother Anthony, his name is Anthony too. Lift up Anthony in prayer. Anthony is my cousin, but Sister Power, but lift him up in prayer. Pray for my sister too, Sister Power. Sister Anna, lift up Sister Anna in prayer. A-N-N-A. Sister Anna, and Sister Power, don't forget to pray for Brother Javel, because Sister Power, Brother Javel has been being mean to me again, Sister Power. He's been calling me name calling. He called me the B word, but Sister Power, I'm asking you to pray for Brother Javel, because Sister Power, the enemy's trying to attack him at this moment, Sister Power. The enemy is attacking him at this moment, Sister Power. But lift up Javel in prayer, please, Sister Power. Pray for Javel, and he could have love for me. Pray for Brother Javel, and Brother Javel will be kind to me, Sister Power. And Sister Power, don't forget to tell Sister Stephanie on this Advent Light ministry to pray for Brother Javel, because Sister Power, I am sorry. Suffering at this moment, Sister Power. Sister Power, I am suffering at the moment, and I'm And I am a little bit sad, but Sister Powell Tubbs and sisters to encourage me on this prayer line. And Sister Powell Tubbs and sisters, I have love because Sister Powell, you know why, Sister Powell, I have love in my heart, Sister Powell. I'm asking you to pray for Brother Javel, please, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, lift up Javel in prayer. And Sister Powell, please, give Sister Stephanie the number to text him to Sister Powell. Tell Sister Stephanie to text him and tell Sister Stephanie to text him Brother Javel, Sister Powell, because Brother Javel has been being mean to me, Sister Powell. He's been calling me name calling. But Sister Powell, I'm suffering in my heart at this moment. Sister Powell, I'm suffering, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, just tell Sister Pain on this prayer line, I am suffering at this moment, Sister Power, and Sister Power, and Sister Power, it hurts my feelings, it hurts, and it hurts, Sister Power, it hurts my feelings, but Sister Power, I'm asking for Sister Stephanie to pray for Brother Javel at the moment, and Sister Power, tell Sister Stephanie, don't forget to give Sister Stephanie his number to give Sister Stephanie his number because Sister Power Javel is making me Sister Power Javel's not being kind, but Sister Power, please lift up Javel in prayer because Sister Power tell brothers and sisters to encourage me on this Adventist ministry, and Sister Power, please Sister Power, lift up Javel in prayer at the moment. Sister Power, the enemy is trying to attack him at this moment. Sister Power, Javel is calling me. Brother, Sister Power, tell sisters to encourage me on this prayer line, Sister Power, and tell Sister Stephanie to give him a call, Sister Power. Tell Sister Stephanie to give him a call because I am suffering in my heart. Jesus.
All right, Brother Eli. All right, Brother Eli. God is good to you, Brother Eli. We heard your cry, and I know God hear your cry, right? God said in Psalm 4, God is our refuge and he is our strength. He is a very precious help in trouble. God will hear your plea and your cry. Not suffering, you have to give God thanks for what he has been doing to you, Brother Eli. Despite of how Javel is mean to you, you still come on the line here night upon night and giving praise and asking us here to pray for all these wonderful people who you have given on the line. And despite of how Javel have been mean, we know that is the enemy. It's not Javel. The enemy is using Javel to be mean to you, but you just be of good courage, as the Lord said. Right? He is your strength, you know. And Brother Eli, whenever time Brother Javel are trying to mean to you, all you have to do is just to walk away and give the Lord the prayer in your heart, a little prayer in your heart, so that the Lord will give you the strength to overcome. And as you said, you gave us the number to call both Jahari and Javel. We have been calling, we are not getting any response, neither from Javel or Jahari or the house manager. But all we have to do is to just leave it in the hands of the Lord. And we all hear your crying and we saw the pain, you know, but doesn't let Javel get you down. You know the word of God, my dear brother Eli. You just have a song in your heart and a praise for him and keep praying for him. And I know that God is going to allow you to overcome. I'm going to open this line for this number, brothers and sisters, because we want to share with them. And I'm asking Brother O'Neill to lead us in prayer for Brother Joe, Brother Eli, and also for the other prayer requests. And I'm asking my brothers and sisters, tonight is elders, isn't it? So I'm asking you if you want to share before the presenter, Brother O'Neill, have a report, a special report
to bring to us. I'm going to open the line and just ask him if he could pray on behalf of, you know, Brother Eli Payne that he is feeling at this time. 631-552, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Brother Anil calling from New York. I truly thank God for his love, his grace, and his mercy. And Brother Eli, I've been mean to, like, this week on my job as well. And I return the favor by praying. And all those who were mean to me, they came back and apologized. You have to just leave everything in God's hand, you know, because God is in control. But you know that the time passed, someone that walked this earth, Jesus Christ, he was mean to many times by the people that he came to show the character of God. And you see what happened to him. They nailed him to a cross. Why? Because they were the one that instigated his death. And you see that what he did, he sent his disciples, say, go first to what? The lost sheep of Israel. So we see that God is a God of long-suffering, is a God of mercy. Even to his despisers, he has mercy upon them. So all we have to do is place everything in God's hand, and we have to look to Jesus, which is our vivid example of how we should live. Let us pray. Most kind, loving, and eternal Father, truly want to thank you for your goodness, your love, your grace, and your mercy towards us. Well, there is none like you, there is none beside you, and there is none greater than you. Father, you came to this earth as the only begotten of the Father. And in Psalms, you tell us that we are your people. You are the one that created us, O God. You are the sheep of your pasture, Lord. And in spite of what we are going through, Lord, we should enter into your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, we ask you, Lord, at this time as I pray on behalf of my brother, to remove anything that is unlike you from me, anything, any defects in my character. Father, you know what he's going through, God. His desire is always to show the love of God to others, but many times they are mean to them. But Lord, we see that while they were here on this earth, and even before you came on this earth, you were trying to show Israel the right things to do, the right way to go, the right things to eat, but they choose their own way. But yet still you did not let them go. You keep tugging at them, and even us at times, O Lord. So help us and help Brother Eli, O God, to get over this situation and to place it in your hands and continue to pray for his friends, even though they despise him at times. Lord, we pray for each and everyone on the line tonight, O God. I wasn't around when the request was made, Lord, but you know every name, even the very hairs upon our head, our number. God, whatever situation, whatever trials, Lord, I pray that you will work it out. Father, we see that we are living in a crisis time, one of the greatest crises that hit this planet right now. The decision that many of your people are to make in regarding this COVID crisis. And many are confused. Many don't know what to do. But you have set up the help plan back in Eden, in Genesis, how we should live. And Father, we see that the enemy, O Lord, has sown noxious weed into the system, O God. And Father, we have to live by a thus saith the Lord. Father, you told us in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and the third verse, thou shalt keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Help us, O Lord. You said in Psalms 119, verse 165, said, great peace are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Father, your law is life. And Father, help us, O God, to abide by you. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will provide the means for your people. Many of us, O Lord, seek to move out of the city into the country, O God. Many are struggling financially. Many are sick and afflicted, O God. I pray that you grant healing according to your will. Father, we ask you to continue to bless the ministry of Advent Light. Father, be with Sister Paul, who has been a faithful worker for you. Sister Carla, Sister Leola, Brother Yudi, Brother Richardson, Brother, you know, all of the person I've been in the background for this ministry and doing, Brother Rick, doing so much for the ministry. And I pray, Lord, that you bless those who are come on the line and blessing the line with their voices of music and sharing. Sister Stephanie coming on Thursday to present for your people. Sister Carla, who's running the technology in the background. I pray that you'll be there. Father, I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless this ministry, Lord. Father, we know that translation is near because we see everything is wrapping up fast, Lord. And Father, help us, Lord, to trust in you, Lord, and let nothing interfere or intercept our connection with you. Father, help us, Lord, to be programmed from the things of this world, oh God, because we see what is happening. The devil is working with subliminal languages, oh God. Mind control, the news media, oh God, has caught many of us who are tracking these things. We listen to hear what is the news, but we must listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit who is speaking to us. We must study your words as we are to, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, to trust in the word of God, because in the end of it all, only one that shall stand forever is the living word of God. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you will do. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Anil, you have your special report. You want to do it now or you want to do it?
I want to do it now before Sister Stephanie is going to come on, right?
Yes, Sister Stephanie soon. She's on the line. She's on the line. Can you press number one, Sister Stephanie, if you're on the line? You are ready, Brother Eli? Brother
Eli? Yeah. I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay, Sister Stephanie is on the mic. I open Sister Stephanie line and they're watching.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how she wants to deal with it. 301-868. You're on the line.
Howdy do, beloved. How are you doing?
Good, Brother Eli.
Oh, Brother Eli. Hi, Brother Eli. How are you doing? And everyone that is on the line. I'm very excited to actually just be here with you all. God is so awesome. He is moving and moving so quickly. I mean, I'm not going to say it's unreal because I know that God can do all things, but there's just so much blessings that God is bestowing upon his people. And, you know, for us to have a desire, we were sharing earlier today and just even the last week and a half, individuals who really have this desire and this urge to heed that command, right? Really, to leave the cities, right? With so many things that are going on, and God is just opening up doors, and so I am just so thankful that, you know, God knows how to take care of his children, no matter what, right? We might not have a dime; it might not look like it's possible. But with God, we know that all things are possible. So I'm excited on that front, all right? Everything else, but I'm excited on that front, how to hear individuals come and share their stories about how God is just opening up doors for them to be able to transition from outside of the city into the country area. And I know that's many of our desires. And so I'm just reaping their blessings, right? Knowing that God is going to do it for me and for others as well. So that is my praise report. You know, I have a whole lot of them, but that is my praise report for right now. And so, Sister Paul, I heard you were saying, I know it's a little bit after 8:20. The presentation that I have upon my heart is going to be brief. So it is up to you, you know, whatever you want to do in terms of
yes,
being able
brother,
to hear.
Brother O'Neill, I have a special report. So I, you know,
go ahead and let him, do his report. No problem. You know, God
Amen.
Is using all of us. So definitely not a problem.
Amen. 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 3631, your line is open. Can you hear?
Yeah, thank you, Sister Stephanie, for allowing me to go. As we look, an interesting article this week unmasking who's behind the pandemic and rioting to usher in the new world order. And as our world changes rapidly, right before our very eyes, it has been very well established, at least for those who follow the alternative media and not the propaganda corporate media, that there is an overall plan in place that is being implemented at a very fast pace. It's very fast. It's very, very fast. And of course, the natural question being asked by those who realize this is, who is behind all of this? The devil himself. The devil himself. Revelation 12:12 tell us. Be sober. Revelation 12:12. Rejoice ye heavens and all who that dwell in them. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil know that he have but a long time, no, a very short time. He knows what is happening. He knows that what Christ is doing. He knows about the sanctuary message, the heavenly sanctuary. He knows in the most holy place. He knows. And Satan knows. He was there in heaven too. That's where he was kicked out from. So he knows where what Christ, he knows every movement of what Christ is doing. But one of his greatest desire is to distract the people of God. His greatest desire is to bring different things. We can see for over the past few years what has happened. One of the things that was leading the world was terrorism. Now it become health. It become health. And I think this one will be the crunch. This one is the one that will hasten up things very fast. This says, it's not a new plan, it's a plan that has existed very long time, and those who are working to implement the plan are not even hiding it anymore. We have previous reports. They're not hiding it anymore. The new world order has now been published, no longer conspiracy out of the shadow. So it says here, hear what it says. The first one is former FBI chief Ted Gerson, who died in 2000. Many of his videos have been disappeared from the YouTube, but some still remain and others remain on other platforms. Ted Gerson was born in Colorado Springs. He graduated from the University of Nebraska in 1950. Gerson joined the Federal Bureau of Investigation in December 1951. He served in the Mobile, Knoxville, New York City, Acuda's office, and he held posts as an assistant special agent in charge of the New Haven and in Philadelphia. In 19th century, he became the head of the Memphis FBI and then the head of the Dallas FBI in 1975. Ted Gunderson was appointed the head of the Los Angeles FBI in 1977, and in 1971, he was one of the handful interviewed for the job of the FBI director, which ultimately went to William H. Weller. So see, some of these men were set up into positions to hasten things and to get things going and to set things in order for their system that they're putting up, because we see the manipulation of the media that is run by the CIA, of course. So they're going to put out things that they want us to listen to. If you check all the newscast stations, the Fox News, the CNN, the NBC, and the all news outlets globally, all of them have the same sort of things presenting to our minds. And many people are caught up in this thing. Just the other day, I was listening to this guy. He was a Hollywood stuntman. He got an injury, and he went to this therapist to get his back fixed. And he was doing some therapy, but he was recommended to this doctor. And when he went to this doctor to help him in the recovery, she has this specialty in that field, because he was told that he would never walk again. And the lady said when he comes in, she has to pray for him first, and she did pray for him. For him and reveal some stuff to him. And when she revealed those stuff to him, he was like, really? After be have to unlearn a lot of stuff. He said he omitted himself off social media. He started stopped watching all these regular news channels and started seeking out for real truth, and then started seeking mostly for God, because the lady told him that he needs to give his life to God. And one of the things that he uncovers is that the media houses are being run by the elite, and they put things on these platforms that they want us to be centered on. And one of their ultimate goals is about fear. And the Bible tells us that perfect peace casts out all fear. So we know that one of the enemy's stronghold in this COVID. Many people, I just came off a Zoom call that this doctor was on. He was speaking about the God's method of healing and how we should follow God's example, and looking at the Levitical system, how God set up the process of recovery and quarantine from major illnesses. And we see how the world copy what God came in but put it in a more dangerous form. We see, and it has affected our churches, because many of our churches are still closed up to this day, and many of our churches are following these protocol. And as I said earlier, when I work in a Jewish community, and I see nothing like what I see in our churches in the Jewish communities, nothing like signs on the floor, nothing put up saying this. Nothing of those procedures I see in their places. So what we see is that all of these things is a setting up to inoculate our minds and let us feel as if God's ways are not to be followed, and man's ways are to be observed and followed. It says, this reading here, it says, 16-year-old Wisconsin girl dead following two doses of the experimental Pfizer COVID injection. Now, remember, they said these things are safe and effective. Remember, that's their word, safe and effective. Look at the Garden of Eden. He shall not surely die. It's the same spiritualistic language the enemy is using, and many people are running because of fear. We're not going to take the time to wait on the Spirit of God, to check the Word of God, to study these things out for ourselves. We cannot wait on the church, our church pastors, to tell us what to do. We have to follow, because many of them, they don't upheld or practice or observe the health message, so they can't tell you nothing, because they don't practice it in their own soul as well, plus to come and tell the people. So they're going to follow the worldly path. So it says, the 16-year-old cancer girl that was listed last week, data dumped by the CDC into the VARS database, who died shortly after receiving the second dose of the experimental Pfizer mRNA injection, has been identified. So it says, Monica Wilson, her death was reported to the CDC vaccine adverse event reporting system twice. Hemodynamic collapse at home. Persistent cardiac arrest requiring ECMO. Event believed secondary to pulmonary embolism. Death by neurological criteria. The next target for these Pfizer injections are children, as Pfizer has applied for the emergency use authorization with both the FDA in the U.S. and the EMA in Europe. So the two biggest bodies in the world, the FDA and the EMA, which is in FDA is in the U.S. and the EMA is in Europe, to inject 12 to 15 years old with the experimental COVID mRNA shot. Fierce Pharma has reported that Canada has just approved the Pfizer shot for 12 to 15 years old. So we see the enemy of our soul, his ultimate goal is depopulation. he hates humanity. And one of his ultimate goals is to destroy us off the planet. And by whatever means, that's what he's going after. And he has set up his health system from day one, which is run by the, which was set up by the Rothschild and the Rockefeller. These are the people that are running the healthcare system. And we see what the world, the WHO logo with is the serpent, the two serpent wrapping around that represent spiritualism. And we know what the serpent did in the garden. So we see all these things coming at the authority of God's health plan and is under attack, as in the days of Christ and in the days of his disciples. Christ was under attack from his own people, the Pharisees, when he healed the man on the Sabbath. As I read in earlier in Acts chapter 4, with what happened with the disciples when they healed, were doing the healing process. They were locked up in jail for doing these things. Now we see a report has been filed that anybody who's advertising about natural remedies to cure any disease, they have to pay a $10,000 fine. So we see that the enemy is putting all of his anger upon humanity because he hates Jesus Christ. And it's anyone who call upon God, and it's affecting everybody. So you want to kill people in their sin, and you want to uproot what God has planted. I'm going to read a quote as I go. 1 second, let me go to that quote. One second. Says in manuscript release, page 247, paragraph 2. You can write it down in your own time. Manuscript 16 MR, that is manuscript release 247, paragraph 2. It said Christ never planted the seed of death in the system. No, Satan planted these seeds when he tempted Adam to eat of the tree of knowledge, which meant disobedient to God. So anything we do which is not according to Scripture is this, according to the Word of God, is disobedient to God. Not one noxious plant was placed in the Lord's great garden. God planted a garden. The Bible tells us in Genesis that God planted a garden for man. But after Adam and Eve sinned, poisonous herbs sprang up. In the parable of the sower, the question was asked the master, did not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence many had done this? Matthew 13, verse 27 and 28. All tears are sown by the evil one. Every noxious herb is of his sowing. And by his ingenious methods of amalgamation, which you see is happening in what they are doing in these last days, they're creating meats in labs now. And just the other day, they created the first GMO human being. There are a lot of stuff going on right now. He has corrupted the earth with tears. He said in paragraph 3, page 247 of 16 MR, then shall physician continue to resort to drugs, which leave a deadly evil in the system, destroying the life which Christ came to restore? Christ's remedies cleanse the system, but Satan had
tempted man to induce into the system that which beaten the human machinery, clogging and destroying the fine, beautiful arrangements of God. The drugs administered to the sick do not restore, but destroy. We see what is going on. It's out there that people still take the vaccine, 2 doses, and it's killing them. It's killing them. It's out there. But destroy. Drugs never cure. Drugs what? Never cure. Instead, they place in the system seeds which bear a bitter harvest. You know what this doctor says? Dr. Bradford Weeks, MD, says, someone in a white coat with that authority who says you have 6 weeks to live, that is assault with a deadly weapon that has to be stopped. That is what Dr. Weeks says. So we see that the enemy is playing games with the human mind. His ultimate goal is to wipe out humanity. And there's a, because of time, there are a lot more I would want to share, but because of time, I'm not going to go into it. But I want to give everyone on the line now a source that you can find potent information apart from the Spirit of Prophecy and the Bible. There are other sources out there. The source is, give me 1 second. Let me tell you, it's healthimpactnews.com, healthimpactnews.com. And these are people who are doing the research and coming with the facts. They are not being accepted on Google because they have been banned from a lot of these mainstream media outlets. And you cannot use YouTube, Yahoo to sign in with them. You cannot use Gmail to sign in with them. And you cannot use... the next one, Outlook, to sign in with them, because we are banned from all the platforms, because those who are speaking the truth are in the minority, not in the majority. So I pray that God will help us to just put our trust in God. We will have this perfect peace if our mind is stayed on Jesus. And the devil is trying to take our mind off Jesus with all these distractions in the media outlet that is telling us to do that which God has not provided in nature for us. So thank you, Sister Paul, for opening up my mind.
Okay. All right. Thank you, my dear brother, for this presentation, special report. Brothers and sisters, we have to be mindful of what is happening out there. And at the same time, we have to be prayerful, right? Only God can answer this cause right now because it's very serious. So thank you, my dear brother. And, you know, we are asking our brothers and sisters to check these stations where you can get these information. Thank you again. Yes, I'm just going to open the line, brothers and sisters out there. The next voice you will hear is Sister Stephanie. I know it's getting late, but she will just come with her health talk, a little of her health message tonight. 301-868, your line is open.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother O'Neill, for bringing that presentation. And we are going to continue. Let's bow our heads as we just linger a little longer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we're so thankful for the information that you have allowed your people to bring tonight. Lord, we touch and agree with all the prayers that have gone up. We touch and agree, and we're so thankful and blessed by the praise report, Lord, and we know that you are going to have your own free will to answer the prayers accordingly that has already been presented to you, Lord. As we now continue to study, keep our eyes stayed upon you, Lord. Keep our minds focused, Lord, and stir our hearts. Do what you must for us, Lord, so that we can and will, according to the pathway and the trajectory that you have called us to be on, so that we can follow it, we can be obedient to what you have called us to do. Forgive me of anything that I've done that is not in line with you, so that this prayer will not be hindered. Lord, allow us not to be hearer of the word, but to be doer as well. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And so tonight is Health Thursday. I know you all have gone through the 8 laws of health, and I want Sister Paul just to echo it because we know that these are things that we sometimes take for granted, and the more we hear it, it will create an impression upon our heart and upon our mind. And so, Sister Paul, as I'm turning to the 2 scriptures that I am going to be reading, can you just share about the 8 doctors that makes house call for me, please, as I'm turning to Genesis 1, verse 29 through 30, and that's the Old Testament, and then the New Testament, the 3rd epistle of John, and we are going to read, 3rd epistle of John, and we are going to be reading from verse 1 through verse 4. So, Sister Paul, can you just give us those rundown of the 8 doctors that make house call for me?
Okay. The N is nutrition. E is exercise. W is water. S is sunshine. A is air. T is temperance. ST, temperance. And A is for ear. And R is for rest. And T is trust in God.
Amen, amen. And those are the 8 doctors. Sister Naomi, one of my church moms, she often referred to it as the 8 doctors that makes house call. And it's very important because the world is talking about this, right? And we have the right arm of the gospel, the health message, right? And we have this opportunity. This is what should be plastered against and, on our billboards, on our writings, on our station, the health message. The 8 laws of health. Nutrition. What is it you're consuming? Exercise. Are you walking? Water. Are you drinking at least half your body weight? Half your body weight, the amount of, so if I'm 120 pounds, I should at least be drinking about, 60 ounces of water to keep me dehydrated, right? To keep me hydrated, not dehydrated. I don't want to be dehydrated. We don't want to be dehydrated. We want to be hydrated. So we're supposed to be consuming that, right? We can also use it for cleansing, hydrotherapy, right? Those are things that we should be using the water for, sunlight, right? The United States are experiencing now more sunlight, right? We're not out of the woods of, winter for everywhere, but, many of us are able to get more sunlight now. So we should be doing that, right? Trusting, being temperate, air, breathing, it helps with the lungs, resting, getting enough rest. And the last T is trusting God. And last week we looked at faith, right? And that woman who had the issue of blood, she had faith. That if she just touched the hem of the garment, right, she will be healed, right? And the paralytic, he had faith knowing that he came in front of Christ. If he confessed his sin, first of all, and if he had the opportunity to be in the space, be close to Christ, he would be saved, right? And he had faith. What kind of faith do we have? Do we have a faith like a mustard seed? Is our faith growing every day? Just think about that. All right, so Genesis 1, verse 29 through 30. It says, "And God says, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." And I'm going to read the last portion of the sentence in verse 30, which says, "I have given every green," what? "Herb for meat," and it was what? So. And then now we're in the 3rd epistle of John, and it says, "The elder who the well-beloved Gaius, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Beloved, verse 2. I'm hearing some feedback. Is that me? "I wish above things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thou so prosperest. For I rejoice, verse 3, greatly when the brethren came and testify of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. All right, so that's what God wants us to do. And so I am going into, I'm going to actually touch a little bit. Last week we read some of chapter 4, so I'm going to read a little bit of chapter 4. Then I'm going to go into, I'm going to actually stay in chapter 4, and I might get to a little bit of chapter 11, working for the intemperate power of the will. And then I will close out with, and we won't be here all night, trust me. And then we will close out with diet and health, the last portion in that, in diet and reform in diet, all right? So here we go as we read. So I'm going to go start at, I'm reading from Ministry of Healing, and I am in the touch of faith, and the touch of faith comes under, the touch of faith comes under the true medical missionary in the context, okay? So depending on what book you have, this one says 40 without the pagination. With the pagination, it is 60 through 63. So it says, to the curious crowd pressing about, Jesus there, and let me tell you what this one is saying. It's under the touch of faith, right? All right. To the curious crowd pressing about Jesus, there was imparted no vital power, but the suffering woman who in faith received healing. Is there something that we're having some infliction with? Is there some pain that we're having? Is there some disease that we're suffering from? It says, to the curious crowd pressing about Jesus, there was imparted no vital power, but the suffering woman who touched him in faith received healing. Sister Paul, I'm hearing some feedback on the line.
I don't know here. We have everything here.
Okay.
All right.
So in spiritual things, Does the casual contact differ from the touch of faith? So in spiritual things, does the casual contact differ from the touch of faith? To believe in Christ merely as the Savior of the world can never bring healing to the soul. I'm going to read that again. To believe in Christ merely as the Savior of the world can never bring healing to the soul. The faith that is unto salvation is not a mere assent to the truth of the gospel. True faith is that which received Christ as a personal Savior. God gave his only begotten Son that I, by believing in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. When I come to Christ according to his word, I am to believe, what? I am to believe that I receive his saving grace. The life that I now live, I am to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2, verse 20. Many hold faith as an opinion. Saving faith is a transaction by which those who receive Christ join themselves in covenant relation with God. A living faith means an increase of vigor, a confiding trust by which, through the grace of Christ, the soul becomes a conquering power, is a mightier conqueror than death. If the sick can be led to fix their eyes in faith upon the mighty healer, we shall see wonderful results. I heard Brother O'Neill gave us a report on the vaccination and the rationale behind it, the Great Reset, what is the intent. And there's something that I just wanted to chime in that is I want to say it is the Grenadines or Antigua. It might be Antigua where they had over 1,000 cases of coronavirus individuals being impacted by it. They had about 32 deaths. And so clearly majority of the individuals that were impacted by COVID has recovered. However, the prime minister is asking and actually mandating, kind of intimidating and bullying the individuals, saying that, you know, yes, we are going to, you know, we can force and we're going to mandate and the vaccination. And it brought me pause, and that's really where I actually went to go and look at the results, right? Because if you're thinking that, you know, they're mandating it for the whole entire country, you think that, okay, they had like a million deaths, right? Even though, like a million deaths. So anyway, I went and I said, let me just look it up to see. And when I saw the statistic in terms of just over 1,000 people were infected and 32 die from it, clearly you don't have a problem with COVID-19. Not that those 32 lives aren't important. I didn't know, you know what I mean, what the reasoning behind them. I didn't know, you know, I didn't see that. I didn't look at that quite yet. But I'm just saying, if you look at the numbers, it is very low compared. The debt is extremely low compared to the recovery rate. So I was trying to figure out, as I heard Brother, O'Neill sharing the information, what would be the rationale? So only 100 people, as the time I looked at it, which was yesterday, had accepted or went and got the vaccination. And so clearly now he's like, wait a minute, this can't be. We need to make sure that, you know, we mandate and we, you know, we can enforce and put it in, you know, so that everybody will be able to get it. And it really brought me pause. I mean, I had to say, what would be the rationale behind it, where your people, your residents, your citizens are recovering, right? However, you still find the need of putting propaganda and fear in individuals so that they will feel like, okay, well, it's being mandated. I have to do it so that I'm able to work, so that I'm able to buy and sell, so that I'm able to survive, even though I don't agree with it, right? And so the question, always ask yourself, what is the rationale behind it? If most of the people in that particular part of the world is recovering and has recovered, what is the reason why you would want to endorse the vaccination for the whole entire nation? And one of the things that he had thrown in was the common good. And I'm not sure if you all have been hearing the common good over the last five to six years, you know, that came from Pope Francis in his Laudato Si. And so the common good is, even though you might not agree with it, but you do it, you go along with it so that it will be able to benefit everybody else, right? And so that is the rationale behind it. And we see the fruits of that labor, right? Because that's what they're saying. We want y'all to take the vaccination so that you can protect everybody else, right? Who does that sound like? I want you to think about that for a minute. Okay. All right. So I'm going to continue. It says, many hold faith as an opinion. Saving faith is a transaction by which those who receive Christ join themselves in covenant relation with God. And I know I read that already. A living faith means an increase of vigor, confiding trust by which, through the grace of Christ, the soul becomes a conquering power. Faith is a mightier conqueror than death. If the sick can be led to fix their eyes in faith upon the mighty healer, we shall see wonderful results. It will bring life to the body and to the soul. In working for the victims of evil habits, instead of pointing them to the despair and ruin towards which they are hastening, turn their eyes away to Jesus. Fix them upon the glories of the heavenly. This will do more for the saving of body and soul then will all the terrors of the grave, when kept before the helpless and apparently hopeless. So what is it saying? We should be turning people to look to who? Turn your eyes to who? To Jesus, the great healer, the Savior, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing, all right? Now I'm going to segue now. I'm going to skip some, and I'm going to go into, I am in, the, according to his mercy, he saved us. All right, I'm still in the touch of faith, and I'm just going to drop down and read a little bit of this portion. Page 43, if you're in this segment, the paginated in the parentheses is 63 through 65. It says, in the same way, every human being can come to Christ, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's Titus 3, verse 5. Do you feel that because you are a sinner, you cannot hope to receive blessings from God? Because, you know, our death sentence is, you know, God is just so awesome because it says the wages of sin is debt, right? So our death sentence is for us to die, right? We were supposed to be dead. However, God is just so awesome, and he has given us a second chance, right? It says, remember that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that beautiful? We have nothing to recommend us to God. The plea that we may urge now and ever is our utterly helpless condition, which makes his redeeming power a necessity. Renouncing all self-dependence. What? Renouncing all self-dependence. So we're not supposed to be depending on ourselves, right? Who are we supposed to be depending on? Our Heavenly Father. Renouncing all self-dependence, we may look to the cross of Calvary and say, in my hand, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. Mark 9, verse 23. It is faith that connects us with heaven and brings us strength for coping with the powers of darkness. In Christ, God has provided means for subduing every evil trait and resisting every temptation, however strong, but many feel that they lack faith and therefore they remain away from Christ. Let these souls in their helpless unworthiness cast themselves upon the mercy of their compassionate Savior. Look not to self, but to what? But to Christ. He who healed the sick and cast out demons when he walked among men is still the same mighty Redeemer. Ain't that beautiful? Then grasp his promises he as leaves from the tree of life. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6, verse 37. As you come to him, believe that he accepts you. Because he has promised you can never perish while you do this. I'm going to read that again. As you come to him, believe that he accepts you because he has promised. You can never perish while you do this. Never. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us, Romans 5, verse 8. And if God be for us, I love this part, and if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8, 31 through 32. I am persuaded that neither what? Death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, right? Pestilence are present, right? Things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, this is 38 through 39. Okay? Now, here's the part. I'm getting ready to wind up. Here is this part. It says, thou canst make me clean. And when I was reading this, I was like, oh, we have to really put this piece in tonight. It says, of all the diseases known in the East, the leprosy was most dreaded. Are they saying that the COVID-19 is the most dreaded disease at this point? But is there anything new under the sun? No. It is saying here, known in the East, the leprosy was the most dreaded. Let's see if they had a vaccination for the leprosy. Let's see. Its incurable and contagious character and its horrible effect upon its victims fill the bravest with fear. Ecclesiastic 1:9, there's no new things under the sun. Among the Jews, it was regarded as a judgment and hence was called the stroke, the finger of God, deep-rooted, ineradicable, deadly. It was looked upon as a symbol of sin. By the ritual law, the leper was pronounced unclean. Whatever he touched was unclean. The ear was polluted by his breath. Get out of here. Like one already dead, he was shut out from the habitation of men. One who was suspected of having the disease must present himself to the priest, who were to examine and decide his case. Is the church open? Are the elders laying hand on the sick? If pronounced a leper, he was isolated from his family, cut off from the contagion of Israel, and doomed to associate with those only who were similarly afflicted. Does that sound like quarantine? Let's see. Even kings and rulers were not exempt. A monarch attacked by this terrible disease must yield up the scepter and flee from society. Away from his friends and his kindred, the leper must bear the curse of his malady. He was obliged to publish his own calamity, to rend his garments and sound the alarm, warning all to flee from his contaminating presence. The cry, unclean, unclean, coming in mournful tones from the lonely exile, was a signal heard with fear and abhorrence. In the region of Christ's ministry were many of these sufferers, and as the news of his work reached them, there is one in whose heart faith begins to spring up. There you go, that word again, faith. If he could go to Jesus, he might be healed. But how can he find Jesus? Doomed as he is to perpetual isolation, how can he present himself to the healer? And will Christ heal him? Will he not, like the Pharisees and even the physician, pronounce upon him and warn him to flee from the haunts of men? He thinks of all that he has told him of Jesus. Not one who has sought his help has been turned away. The wretched man determines to find the Savior. Though shut out from the cities, it may be that he can cross his path in some byway along the mountain roads or find him as he is teaching outside the towns. The difficulties are great, but this is his only hope. Standing afar off, the leper catches a few words from the Savior's lips. He sees him laying his hands upon the sick. He sees the lame, the blind, the paralytic, and those dying of various maladies rise up his health, praising God for deliverance. His faith strengthens. Nearer and yet nearer he approaches to the listening throng. The restriction laid upon him, the safety of the people. Are we not hearing that? Put the mask on so that others can be saved. Get the injection so that others can be saved. The safety of the people. This is what the leper was thinking about. The fear with which all men regard him are alike forgotten. He thinks only of the blessed hope of healing. He is a loathsome spectacle. The disease has made frightful inroads in that disease doing this today. And has decaying body as horrible to look upon at sight of him that fall back. In their terror, they crowd upon one another to escape from contact with him. Are we social distancing? Are we being told that we need to be 6 feet apart? Right? Think about this. Some try to prevent him from approaching Jesus, but in vain. He neither sees nor hears them. Their expressions of laughing are lost upon him. He sees only the Son of God. He hears only the voice that speaks life to the dying. Pressing to Jesus, he cast himself at his feet with the cry, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus replied, I will. Be thou clean, and lays his hand upon him. Matthew 8, verse 2 through 3. Immediately, a change passes over the leper. His blood becomes healthy, the nerves sensitive, the muscles firm, the unnaturally white, scaly surface peculiar to leprosy disappears, and his flesh becomes as the flesh of a little child. Should the priests learn the facts concerning the healing of the leper? Their hatred of might lead them to render a dishonest sentence. Jesus desired that an impartial decision be secured. He therefore bids the man tell no one of the cure, but without delay present himself at the temple with an offering before any rumors concerning the miracle should be spread abroad. Shouldn't that be what we say? Come, let us tell you about a man that could tell us about everything and that could heal our maladies and our diseases. Shouldn't that be the message that we're sending? Before the priest could accept such an offering, they were required to examine the offerer and certify his complete recovery. The examination was made. The priest who had condemned the leper to banishment testified to his cure. The healed man was restored to his home and society. He felt that the boon of health was very precious. He rejoiced in the vigor of manhood and in his restoration to his family, notwithstanding the caution of Jesus. He could no longer conceal the fact of his cure, and joyfully he went about proclaiming the power of the one who had made him whole. When this man came to Jesus, he was full of leprosy. Its deadly poison permeated his whole body. The disciples sought to prevent their master from touching him, for he who touched a leper became himself unclean. But in laying his hand upon the leper, Jesus received no defilement. The leprosy was cleansed. Thus it is with the leprosy of sin, deep-rooted, deadly, impossible to be cleansed by human power. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores. Isaiah 1, 5 through 6. But Jesus, coming to dwell in humanity, received no pollution. His presence was healing virtue for the sinner. Whoever will fall at his feet, saying in faith, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, shall hear the answer, I will be thou clean. And so I'm going to transition now to diet and health, and it's going to be another 1 minute, I promise you. and I'm in the Reform in Diet, okay? And it says, our bodies are Christ's purchased possession, and we are not at liberty to do with them as we please. All who understand the laws of health should realize their obligation to obey these laws, which God has established in their being. Obedience to the laws of health is to be made a matter of what? Personal duty. We ourselves must suffer the results of violated law. We must individually answer to God for our... Therefore, the question with us is not what is the world's practice, but how shall I, as an individual, treat the habitation that God has given me? This has brought us to the end of our study for the Health Thursday, and I pray that you are blessed. I pray that you will be a disciples for Christ. You will be that medical missionary to share the 8 laws of health, to share the God of heaven that we know that can heal all maladies, all diseases that we may encounter. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, yeah. We bow before you today. And we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the Holy Scripture. You have given us the prophecies with the spirit of prophecy so that we can come and learn more about what you have called us to do, how you call us to take care of this living temple that you have given us, Lord, and how the faith that we have can help us to heal these diseases, to heal these maladies, and to bring comfort not only to ourselves, but to everyone that we come in contact with. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Thank you, God, for your comfort. We ask you, Lord, even right now, Heavenly Father, to strengthen our faith so that we will not be worried. We will not become weary, knowing that on our job we are going to be told that if we do not accept this vaccination, we will not be able to work, Lord. But help us, Lord, to fix, as we read, our eyes upon you, knowing that with you all things are possible, knowing that with you, you promised, God, that you will supply all of our needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask you, Lord, to strengthen our faith. We ask you, Lord, to hold back the winds of time, Lord, so that we can get ourselves ready and we can proclaim this everlasting gospel, this help message, which is the right arm of the gospel, to everyone that we come in contact with. We pray for our pastors. We pray for our leaders, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Trouble their hearts. Stir our hearts so that we will see the urgency to speak these things that you have given us on our lips to others. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name we pray, as you made the leper whole, we're asking you, Lord, to free us from bondage, free us from sin, and make us whole again, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for that presentation. Brothers and sisters, we saw how God is good. Jesus, look upon all the distress as we listen to this reading, all the heartbroken, those who were blighted, and those with earthly joys were seeking to quiet the longing of his soul. And he invited all to find rest in thee. So, brothers and sisters on this line, despite of what is happening, right? We saw this man was a leper. He was, all his body was full of leprosy. And we saw what leprosy will be, is unclean, unclean. But Jesus was there for him. Jesus was the one to touch him. Jesus was the one to heal him. And despite of what we are going through, the COVID-19 and all the other sickness, we know we have a great physician, who is Jesus Christ. And if we trust him and believe in him and have that faith that passes all understanding, we know he is able to cleanse us from all the leprosy, from all the COVID disease, from all the high blood pressure. We have to be faithful and thank God. We here on this line have to thank God for this message that we have. And let us really study and also share this message to the dying world. As a representative of Christ, we have to carry out this gospel. So I just want to thank everyone tonight who joined. Thank our dear song service leader, Sister Barnaby, for her presentation. And also we want to thank Sister Pantanelli for her help tip. Brother O'Neill, Lord, for his special report about the COVID-19 and how we have to trust God in everything we do. Sister Stephanie, for the presentation. Sister Payne, for also her song and our comforting word. And Sister Brendan, Brother John, sharing the goodness of God and God giving God praise. Praise and honor and glory, Sister Carla, who gave her testimony about the goodness of God, what she had been doing, sharing the gospel message with her step to Christ, and other documents to friends, and people are just accepting the message and the word out there. So I just want to say to Advent Light here, let us continue to be faithful. Let us continue to study God's word. Let us continue to share the word. Despite of what is happening, both in the church, around us, at our workplace, let us be faithful. So I just want to thank everyone, Brother Eli, who come on the line, heartbroken. But Brother Eli, we know we have a God who is able to keep you and bring that joy back within you, and also continue to pray for Jari and Javel and the Brother Eli mother and each and every one of us. And this night, dear Lord, even though we are a little late, I'm asking my brothers and sisters here to lift up our church organization from the General Conference, local, the ministers, the local churches, all the leadership. And members, you know, those who are troubled at this time, I'm asking you to lift them up in prayer. And for our youth, because brothers and sisters, youth will be the leaders of tomorrow. So let us keep them in prayer and remember the country land, Lord, that every one of us are seeking to leave the city and to go to the country. And please to remember, dear Sister Leola, in prayer, you know, she is in Alabama, and we soon have her. She's doing well so far, and she sends her love as we pray for Sister Brother Ray and Sister Leola, you know. So let us lift up the family in prayer and also remember them, Sister Brenda and Brother John. So, brothers and sisters, we just going to close now, and we are inviting you back tomorrow at 7 o'clock for our Sabbath service. So I'm going to close with this song, my favorite song, and I will just...
Thank you.
Is only the splendor of life.